All right, we'll go ahead and call this meeting to order. Nathan, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember McPherson?
Here.
Councilmember Biggs?
Here.
Council President Bruce?
Here.
Mayor Steer?
Here. And if you'll join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First item is the consent agenda. Questions, comments?
Make a motion that we approve the consent agenda as published.
I'd second that.
Motion's made and seconded. Is there any further discussion on that motion? Nathan, would you poll the council?
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
Councilmember Biggs?
Yes.
Council President Bruce?
Yes.
And that motion carries. And that takes us to a proclamation for Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Whereas domestic violence is defined as abusive behavior in a personal relationship that gives one member control and power over another through physical, emotional, sexual, economic, or psychological actions or threats, and whereas an estimated 1 in 4 women and 1 in 7 men will face domestic abuse in their lifetime, and in 2023 there were 5,767 calls for service related to domestic violence and sexual assault in Ada County, and whereas a range of services and programs exist throughout the Treasure Valley providing safety, healing, and freedom from domestic abuse and sexual assault, including forensic exams, medical care, secure shelters, court advocacy, counseling, child care, as well as case management. And whereas the City of CUNA is an important partner in the Women and Children's Alliance and Faces of Hope, to provide a safety net of crisis services to create a community where individuals thrive in a safe, healthy relationship. Now, therefore, I, Joe Steer, Mayor of the City of CUNA, Idaho, do hereby proclaim the month of October 24 as Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And that takes us to public hearings.
Public comment.
Oh, I'm sorry. Public comment. I skipped that one. Let's see. Bob Shattuck? If I said that right? Yes, sir. You may have the floor if you would just state your name and address for the record and push the little button on the mic so it turns green. Just right on the base. There you go.
Thank you. Robert Shattuck, 1498 West Gainsborough Street in CUNA. And anything else?
Yes.
First of all, thank you for the opportunity to speak to your council here. We've lived here about 2.5 years, almost 3 now, and there's a piece of property on Ardell between school and across from Citrine. That's a large area, and don't know what the plan is for it, but we wonder if there's any consideration to turn that in maybe into a park area.
If it's the one I'm thinking of, I think they want a pretty hefty price tag for that. It was like $190,000 an acre or something like that.
Ouch. Is there, I know in some states that I've been in, they have public domain that you can, get that price lowered for the use of it if it's for, you know, community purpose. Is that any possibility?
You know, we can go ahead and make contact with the owner and see if they're willing to do something.
Sometimes they can get a write-off. I know some friends of mine have been in real estate before. By the donation, they can write off part of that, and that helps them offset the taxes they pay on their other profits.
Right. Okay.
And the reason I thought of that is because we come from an area where there was heavy saturation of housing. And one of the problems is I think the kids, and there are quite a few kids in that area, need to have a place that they can kind of get together, Park is a nice area. Sago Pond is a good example there. I see kids there all the time. And it would be nice maybe to put a basketball court in, maybe some little tables and maybe little covers. You can come and bring a lunch and maybe even a little walk path. Probably not room for another pond, but it'd be good for the older people as well as the younger people, and something that's, like I say, not just all residential, going from residential to residential. And it's hard, I realize, because there's progress going on, a lot of people coming in, us being one of them. And once you lose that land, the housing, that's, you're not going to get that.
Right.
And just briefly, when I lived in Hawaii, they had a beautiful park area. Somebody came in with big money, put up 3 or 4 high rises. It was never the same. Again, because that was a nice little piece of paradise. They even wrote a song about it. So.
And are you the one that sent the letter on that?
No, I'm glad to hear somebody else.
Somebody did send the letter, yes.
So. All right.
Otherwise, if you would, just make sure that, well, I guess we have your name and address. If you can just leave your contact information at some point.
Sure.
Then I'll get a hold of you and we'll see what we can do.
With the person at the back?
I'll come help you with that.
Okay,
yeah,
thank
he can
you.
Help you with that.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Mr.
All right,
Shattuck.
Thank you.
Mr. Shattuck, that was Ardell and what?
Ardell and between school and Citrine.
Okay, thank
well,
you.
Citrine actually kind of tees into it, and so there's no street there. It's just an open lot.
Thank you.
Dave Prost.
Good evening, council members. Thank you for taking allowing us to take your time, and thank you for your service to the city and to our community. I'm here representing several folks, some of which are here with me, but most which are not, that are regular players of pickleball. I know first world issues that we're bringing to your attention today, but regular players of pickleball at the CUNA pickleball courts at Indian Creek Ranch. I am a resident of Indian Creek Ranch and happen to live across the street from the courts. My friend and neighbor, Bryden, is here with me as well. He lives 2 doors over. We both live across the street from the courts. If you didn't know, we've prepared a package that will be available to anybody that wants to look at it with pictures of those courts. We know the city did not build the courts or lay the foundation for the courts. But it is the city's courts now, as I understand it, and our request tonight is that you would we'd like to draw your attention to the condition of those courts, which has deteriorated quite a bit in the 2 years since they've been open. With the pictures, there's over 40 pictures. There are 4 courts. We have about 10 pictures of each court, and you can see that there's been settling of the concrete there. Cracks on every one of them, and now holes in most of them. So just from a volume of play standpoint, I know maybe you've run your own studies of how many people play over there. We've run an estimate. Some of it's official, some of it's not. But our estimate is that in 2023 and 2024, there have been over 2,300 pickleball sessions at those courts alone, with over 9,300 players, albeit not unique individuals, but 9,300 players. Some of those are scheduled events that you can do online at Playtime Scheduler. And in fact, in our packet, we have a submission from Playtime Scheduler where they'll tell you exactly how many of their, how many sessions have been scheduled on that website. So that's no small amount of play. We're here really with specific requests of you. And if I might run through those, I'd like to make those, draw those to your attention. Before I do, before I do, I think it might be interesting to draw your attention, if you didn't already know, that the Boise Area Pickleball Association, the president of that association is a resident of CUNA, lives in Sterling Ranch, and his individual play that he schedules, he is removed from the CUNA courts because of their condition, and moved over to Discovery Park and Meridian because they don't have the issues that will draw to your attention. The pictures will lay out exactly what's going on with the fencing, the court itself, and other issues. So with my remaining time, I just want to run through 9 specific requests we would specifically make. First is a complete resurfacing of the courts, replace the fencing and add higher fencing on the north and south side, which won't affect visual lines for the residents. Add windscreens, it gets quite windy there. Add gates to the south side.
Sir, that's your time if you can wrap up your final comments.
I will. Add gates to the south side, add medium-sized rocks so the dirt doesn't blow out. We're out there almost every day blowing the courts off because the dirt blows off. I'll just cut it off there and say we have a submission that's available to you when we're done. We've left copies for everybody on the council with the specific request and with the evidence to kind of back it up, if you will. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Okay, hey, I appreciate that. That's unfortunate. Those courts are only a couple years old.
2 years old, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. On the flip side, it's good they're getting that much use. I mean,
yeah, that's really good.
They're always busy when you drive by, so.
We know.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Linda Gerritsen.
That was an error. Sorry, Mayor.
Oh, that's okay. All right, that's all I had. Was anybody else wanted to address the council in this part? Okay, thank you. Okay, now I can go where I should be. Public hearings, case number 24-01-DA, modification, development agreement modification, 815-DA, NAPA Vineyards. Doug Hansen.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA, Idaho. The applicant requests a development agreement modification for the Napa Vineyard subdivision. The site is located at 1235 West Columbia Road, West Columbia Road, and 750 West Hubbard Road, Meridian, Idaho, 83642. The Napa Vineyards annexation, plan unit development, and development agreement was approved by the City Council on April 22, 2009. The zoning, residential lot, and unit counts, dimensional standards are all shown on the preliminary plan submitted as approved in the original application. The requested modifications to the development agreement are due to the following changes deemed substantial enough to require modification by planning and zoning staff, those being 1, the relocation of the fire station lot, 2, the relocation of the park and pool lot. 3, the owner will dedicate lot 27, block 14, as shown on the preliminary plans in Exhibit B for public purposes. The primary intent of the parties is that this lot will be dedicated to the CUNA Joint School District number 3 to be used as a public school site. In the event such dedication is not accepted by CUNA School District number 3, the owner may pursue efforts to dedicate the lot to a public charter school. In the event all or any portion of the subject lot is not dedicated to the CUNA Joint School District number 3 or a public charter school, the lot or remaining portion shall be dedicated to the city for development and use as a city park. 4, removal of the senior housing age restriction from 218 lots within the R20 zone. And 5, dedication of the Mason Creek trunk line easement through a project infrastructure agreement between the applicant and the city. Upon review, staff finds the application to be in compliance with CUNA City Code, the Comprehensive Plan Idaho Code, and original development agreement. Staff recommends that if the council approve case number 24-01-DA mod, the applicant be subject to the conditions of approval as listed in staff's report. With that, I will stand by for any questions.
Okay, questions for Doug?
Not at this time for me. Greg?
Not yet.
And this was a... This all was approved in 2009, correct?
For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning Zoning, that's correct.
And what we're talking about tonight is an adjustment to the, or a modification to the development agreement, not whether or not this project is going to happen.
Right? That's correct.
Okay. All right. Did anybody else want to speak on this matter before we get to public hearing? Okay. All right.
The applicant is here with a presentation this evening.
I'm sorry, what's that?
The applicant is here with their presentation this evening.
Oh, okay. Yes, please. You may have the floor.
Good
All right. Good evening, Mayor and City Council members. I'm Elizabeth Kekeritz with Givens Persley Law Firm, 601 Bannock in Boise, Idaho. I represent the owners and developers of Napa Vineyards, and so with me today is Tim Eck, who's one of the owners and developers. I want to thank planning staff for their time on this. It took a lot working through this older development agreement, trying to figure out what changes needed to be made, how we could start moving forward with this these applications again. And then I also want to thank you guys for your time here tonight. This project has been long in the work, and the developers are really finally starting to get ready to move forward on it tonight soon. As Doug mentioned, this is not approving the specific development yet. There's going to have to be preliminary plats before you. There may be a PUD modification. There's other things that will come, but in order to even sort of kickstart this and get it moving again, we are requesting the DA modification for the reasons that Doug mentioned. The vicinity map, just to bring you in here a little bit, due to the passage of time when this was first approved, this was really far on the outskirts of Meridian. Since that time, there's been a lot of development around it. And so this development really is now becoming very much an infill development. There's been development approved pretty much in every direction from this. It's ideally located with access onto Meridian Road, south of Meridian and north of Hubbard. The property is currently primarily zoned. The largest portion is zoned R6. There's also an R20 component, C1, Commercial 1, and Commercial 3. But what I'd really like to do is just sort of skip ahead to comparing the two concept plans. You can see the sites are remarkably similar. The majority of the property is zoned R6, single-family residential. And both plans include 653 single-family lots stretching from Columbia Road in the north to Hubbard Road on the south along the new K Drive, which will be included. The southeast intersection of Meridian and Hubbard contains the C3, the largest commercial pads, and directly north of that is the multifamily component, also located along Meridian Avenue. Moving to the north along Columbia Avenue up here, you can see better on this one. This is the new fire site. It was originally proposed to be over here on the far west side of the project. However, after multiple discussions with the Kuna Rural Fire District, it made a lot more sense to put it at the intersection of a collector in our arterial versus where it was just on the arterial. And then also after more recent discussions with the school district, it also made sense to move the school district site out to the intersection of two collector roads rather than have it more internal and off of a collector road and a local road. And so those changes are being made at the request of the respected agencies. And then also, very importantly, the Mason Creek trunk line is also going to be extended through this property. There'll be an easement dedicated for that at the location that will be determined in the soon-to-be-determined near future. I don't think that plans have been finally decided on that yet between Public Works and the developer, but it's definitely something that is moving forward and in the works. One of the other big reasons for the DA modification is that if you look at the original DA, I think it's like 20 or 22 pages long, which really just doesn't really meet with today's standards for DAs. It includes a lot of language that is just reiterating city code standards. And so what makes that difficult is then when city code changes, when we go from ACHD wanting meandering sidewalks to ACHD wanting sidewalks along the side of the roads, things like that make it really difficult to actually develop and meet what those standards are. And so there is a lot of stuff like that in here, where at one point the city was requesting berming, and now they no longer want berming between subdivisions due to a whole myriad of drainage issues, fencing issues, different things. And so it's just much simpler these days to include that you're going to comply with everything in the code, which you have to comply with anyway, and then to just add on the extra additional conditions. And so that's really what we're asking for here. It included things like provide a grading plan. Of course, we have to do that. Connect to the city sewer system. There's a number of things like that. The roads also were no longer meeting ACHD standards. They meet ACHD standards now. Sidewalks are getting widened. There's a lot of information like that in here that just requires a refresh and really a shortening of what that development agreement looks like. In moving back up here to this rendering, you can see it a little bit better here. Here it's a better view of the future school lot and the future fire station lot, the Mason Creek trunk line, which I mentioned. One of the things that this development has significantly more of, or that was difficult to even calculate before, was the amount of open space on the property. Previously, the DA said it needed to include 10%. It did include that. But here, when you look at how open space is calculated now, it's actually 18.69% of the total land area is considered open space, which is 45 acres. That does include the school site, but when you remove the school site and the fire site, you're still at 14.8% open space. So you're still significantly over 36 acres, significantly over that requirement, the 10% requirement. There's also, with this new updated site plan, there will be a consolidation of amenities. The last one included four separate swimming pools. In talking to the Public Works Department and looking at best practices these days, one bigger pool is for the single-family residential, and then one pool with the multifamily residential just makes a lot more sense. It's less water-intensive, and it's just an easier, better amenity for residents who are going to live here. As I mentioned, this is still 653 R6 residential lots. It results in a density of just 4.05 units per acre, which doesn't include the school donation site. It would be even lower if we included that. And in the R20, we're still asking to have the 842 units maximum that was previously approved. And so finally, be brief here. We are in agreement with all of the terms and conditions of approval with just a couple minor modifications. The developer worked very closely with the CUNA School District on where the location of the site would be. However, as we all know, it is taking some time these days to get a bond passed, to get schools built, and the real goal is just to get a school built as quickly as possible. And so it's a good school, a public school, and so they would also like to have not where the how the DA condition is currently read, it must be provided to the CUNA School District. If they don't want it, then it can go to a charter school, and then it can go somewhere else. The developer at this time is we are asking that the site to be used for a public school site, which includes the ability to dedicate the property to a public school district, public charter school, or a combination of a public charter school and a public park in the owner's discretion. Because it really is important to the developer and to the community to actually get the school built there. And they've had a great longstanding relationship with CUNA School District and want to continue working on that, but also really want to make sure that this school does get built here. The reason for the joint charter school park is that it turns out that some of these charter schools don't need quite as much property, and they are happy to enter into different agreements where half of the property can be a public park that they use for, maybe they'll just use it at recess, but they don't need quite as much land as the public schools sites usually do. And so that's one minor modification that we are requesting, is just some different change language there, just to give the maximum flexibility moving forward. And then the other one was digging into the Public Works comments. There was a new one in there that we hadn't seen before, about putting in between a 500,000 and a 1 million gallon pressurized irrigation pond. The developer is willing to, I mean, he's always worked with the city and done what the city's asked. We spoke with Mike Borzik earlier today, and we just want this clarified that the final size and dimensions are subject to future discussions with the city, and that it will be eligible, just to make sure it's clarified that this and the other donations are eligible for reimbursement under the city's oversized reimbursement policies. And with that, I will stand for any questions.
Okay, question.
I have some questions.
Yeah, go ahead.
So the decision to change the development agreement from the 55 plus to the open to all ages, I didn't see a school comment in on that one, because that would definitely greatly affect the schools, and that may not be your fault. But I'm just curious the train of thought on the change with that.
I think a big part of it is by moving away from that, it doesn't stop a senior assisted living or Housing for Older Persons Act, like for an older person's development there, but it does allow a wider variety of different potential uses there. Because under the code, multifamily is multifamily, and then this, the housing for older adults is just an additional layer on that, where to have the maximum discretion and possibility for this property in the future, they would like to have that removed.
I definitely agree with you that it does open up, you know, for a wider amount, but also, you know, there's the schools will have a greater impact than with 55 plus.
You also included specifically assisted care, and we definitely don't want to have the assisted care, because that is a more specific, very specific use.
Fair enough. And just for, we have had a couple developments recently that did have 55 plus specifically called out, so it seems to be there's a trend with that. I did want to ask also, the public comments from the packet, specifically Ginger Yore. I didn't know if you took those into consideration or if you made any modifications based on her comments.
Mayor, City Council Member Biggs, yes, we have. Let me flip to them and I can tell you what we've done. One of them is, I know we're doing the taller fence. We think that was, we understand there has to be a 6-foot high fence around everything. As far as the road goes, also the access will, of course, remain, that we are required to provide that access. We pulled the easement on it, and so she will, of course, continue to have that, to have access to that property. And then as far as the berming goes, that's one of the things that I did briefly mention. The city and developers and developments generally have moved away from berms between uses. It creates drainage issues when you put berms on properties. It's also very, because it drains onto the property you're trying to protect and onto the other property. And so there have just been some issues with that over time. And now just most jurisdictions, including CUNA, have just gone to more nicely landscaped buffers between uses. And so that is what we're proposing there. And we did look at the distance, and I believe from the edge of her property line to the nearest home, it would be 65 feet. So that's pretty significant.
Thank you. And it's good to hear about the fence, too. And then my last question, you talked briefly about schools getting built and how much you were for that. So what efforts specifically are you taking to that end to get the actual building built? Because we don't have a bond in the immediate future or in the distant future that I can tell. And normally a bond is required to build a school.
And Councilmember Biggs, that's a great question, and that is why the developer really would like the option of doing a charter school, because those are public schools with private financing. and other financing. And so you can get a charter school built a lot more quickly. And I know that Mr. Eck has been in contact with several, like there's three or four charter school companies that are operating in Idaho right now. And I know that he's been in touch with all of them, both for this site and for a different one in CUNA.
Thanks again.
Okay. Further?
Not for her. I'm good.
I'm good.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, this is a public hearing, and so we're going to go ahead and open that up. Anybody that has testimony that deals with the development modification? Tim Jensen, CUNA School District.
Thank you for your time this evening. Tim Jensen with CUNA School District, 711 East Porter Road in CUNA. I'm up here tonight because we'd like to talk about our concern about them wanting to add the flexibility of bringing in the public charter school. You know, our support has been, and this developer's been great to work with, and so this is not about that. But our concern is if this is turned over to be a public charter, the developer also in this other one that's in town had made a comment in that previous session that, well, all the kids in the neighborhood will go to that school, and that's just simply not true. You know, even if there's a public charter put on this ground, it's still, there are still going to be kids that come to all the rest of our schools, you know, in that zone, and it has an impact on it. And so we went into this agreement, you know, saying, hey, you know, we want to work with you. This is a place that we, you know, we want and we need for our future growth for the public schools in CUNA. And we just feel like that if that option is given in there, you know, put in there, then that can just be pulled out. And they hit it right on the head. It's easier for a charter school to build it. You know, Idaho is one of those states that for public schools that you have to have the two-thirds vote. We're one of two states in the nation that require a two-thirds vote for bonds to pass. But charter schools, because our legislature's pro-charter, make it much easier for them to put them in. Well, let's call it what it is. Developers have figured that out. And so now, you know, we're going to put a school site in, or, you know, we're just going to call it a charter site because we know that we can have that process go faster. And so we're asking, you know, that we, you know, you guys and the developer to keep working with us and we want to work with them. We need this site because we're growing faster than we can. Right now, we've got, you know, a levy coming up. We've got a great public grassroots effort going to help us with the levy, but we got to have a bond. I'm also the principal at Fremont Middle School, and we are over capacity. I turned away more open enrollments this year than I have in the 7 years I've been there. I turned away 80-some open enrollments for my building this year. And so we are growing and we need the places, and obviously we need the help of our community to help us pass bonds. But this would be a huge setback for us. You know, we've been counting on having this ground and now, you know, for future development. But now all of a sudden, if that's taken, we feel like, you know, if it's easier for the developer to go public charter, then that could just be pulled out from under us. And so, just wanted to express our support. You know, we support the developer. We support, like I said, they've been a good partner for us, but it just raises some concern for us if that option's put in for them to be able to turn to the charter route. So I'll stand for any questions.
Okay, questions? All right. Thank you.
No, not this time. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Doug, correct me if I'm wrong. I thought I read that to where the CUNA School District has to refuse the property in order for it to be passed on.
For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning, that is correct. It currently reads, in the event such dedication is not accepted by CUNA School District Number 3, the owner may pursue efforts to dedicate the lot to public charter school.
Okay. And I have a question.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Doug,
yes.
What does that acceptance mean? Like you said, they have to accept it. Is that, or deny it? Is that in writing? Is that one person saying, hey, we're not going to use it right now, it goes to the next person?
For the record, Doug Hanson, Cuda Planning Zoning, that would be up to the applicant and the school district as how they wanted to handle those agreements.
Yeah. Mark Bybee, city attorney. Acceptance, I'm the one that added that language as to acceptance in there, and that means actually doing some act to accept the property. And I put it in there because some issues can happen where people sometimes might just do a quit claim deed to a property to dump it on a government because there's something wrong with the property. And so there's this concept that a government entity should be accepting ownership. And so acceptance is accomplished, in my mind, by them actually acknowledging and signing the deed of conveyance. And so if they didn't accept, it would mean that they're essentially rejecting the deed, and maybe they have signed. I think with what I just heard from the school district rep, wouldn't see that being a probable outcome, but I was adding the language to give the school district the ability to say, no, this isn't something we don't need this. It's not practical for whatever reasons. Because I think it's fair to say we're not experts on the school district's business and their needs, and so if there's for some reason it didn't make sense, that gives them the discretion to make that determination. That was my intent with that language.
Mark, is there anything that says it has to be a school that's built there? So if they decide they want to make it a soccer field or
that,
something else?
Not in this agreement. I think you're kind of getting into the question of if you're going to restrict what it could be used for after conveyance to the school district, could it be in a development agreement? Yes. It could also be deed restrictions. You know, that would be something up to the developer to put deed restrictions in that prevent use for something else. But right now it's not contemplated in this DA that we'd restrict it. It has to be to a public school if they receive it. That they have to develop it as a public school if they receive it. That's not in there right now.
Is there a precedent for anything like that, being that specific, that you're aware of?
Off the top of my head, I don't know that. I can't answer that. There could be plenty, and I'm just not familiar.
I'm not sure I'm going to read this right. Tracy McLean, 9302 South.
That was a mistake.
Oh, you wrote not testified. I'm sorry. So I got that wrong. Okay. All right. Linda Hibbard.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. My name is Linda Hibbard, 9365 South Russell Avenue in CUNA. I attended a meeting about a little over a year ago that the architecture or somebody from the developer put on and provided us information on this. I was not aware that it had gone to the City Council in 2009. There was concerns about growth in CUNA, and while it looks good on paper that they want to donate site for a school and a fire department, those buildings still have to be built, they still have to be funded, and we've already had, just speaking to the schools, we've already had one levy that didn't pass. We've got one coming up, and honestly, I'll be surprised if this one does. There's a lot of people that have moved here from other states that don't understand that our state doesn't fund our schools. We do at this local level, and if it keeps getting voted down, having land doesn't do any good. We don't have other infrastructure. We have to put a moratorium on building. We can't just keep approving these developments because they've checked all the right boxes. And while I'm all for funding our schools, I can't do it by myself. I can't do it if people keep saying no. We had concerns about how many houses are crammed together, especially around the school site. That's just a danger waiting to happen. And, you know, I moved from that horrible place that everybody hates, but I moved from the state of poverty within the state of California. It costs us more to move here and live here in a smaller house than what we had in California. And we saw this same kind of growth happening there. And the repercussions of it years later are awful. And if we keep approving these developments, we're going to have way more crime. We're going to have way more overcrowding. We're going to have way less infrastructure. Our kids deserve better. If that means that we have to put a stop on something for a while until we can get a hold of it, then that's what we need to do. I encourage you to just stop it. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda.
Linda Gerritsen?
I'm not testifying, sir.
Okay. Mike Gerritsen?
No, sir, not testifying. Either.
Not testifying? Okay. Melanie Peterson?
No.
Okay. Mariah Jensen? Oh, you wrote not testify. Okay. Missed that one. Christine Keith? Not testify. Brady Schofield said not testify. Aubrey Schofield said not testify. Devin Hansen not testify. How about Wendy McCurdy? No testify.
Mr. Mayor, could you tell us if they were in favor or opposition?
There was the school district was neutral. And then the second name I called was neutral, and everyone else I've listed is in opposition.
Thank you.
I have a William. William's the only name on there. 1142, is that a familiar address?
Yes,
I can't
sir.
Read the
That's
name. Okay, yes, sir, you may have the floor. And this one was in favor.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I'm opposed to this development. It should be turned into like the Hubbard Reservoir, like a nature park, because our fire department and our police department is stretched thin. They already have too many calls. And that's all I wanted to say.
Okay,
thank you.
Appreciate that, thank you. All right, was there anybody else who wished to testify that didn't get a chance to sign in? Yes, sir. All right, you want to sign in on the sheet here? In favor, neutral, in opposition. Okay, you may have the floor, sir.
Seamus Hodges, 8105 South Chugach Place. My wife, she's a school teacher within this impact zone there too, and that's one of our things. It's just follow along with Linda. You know, everything put back on us is, you know, taxpayers and whatnot, and with the growth of schools and overcrowding and stuff, and just with the infrastructure. Her family also donated a bunch of land over off Strobel and stuff for school districts. So there's land that's been donated here my big concern is, you know, the funding of it that way. And I'm in the trade, so I you know, game from building stuff too, but at the same time, I'm eighth generation Idahoan, and it's sad seeing all the stuff go, especially high density stuff there right behind us. And with just the impact that that's going to have with schools and just everything that goes along with that, it's a kind of a domino effect that way. So yeah, that's our concern to bring, you know, tonight that way, and with the levees not getting passed and that kind of stuff. It's just and with the building continuing going, it puts stress on her. She's been teaching the CUNY School District for 16 years now, and so it's and see a lot of that change as it's going on that way. So yeah, that's so it's well, it's a hard thing to see that way, and just some definitely concerns that way with getting this all figured out, how to, you know, make it that work. So appreciate you guys' time and hear me.
Thank you, sir.
Good, we appreciate that. All right, anyone else? Okay. So this column's in favor, that's neutral, and that's in opposition. And I didn't take the cap off. I'm not very helpful, am I? Okay, and you may have the floor.
I'm Melissa Dean, 2574 North Hose Gulch, CUNA. I know that one thing that was brought up, or has not been brought up, is just the roads. In 2009, when this was brought to our attention, I did not live here, but I have seen the growth since then. And Columbia Road and Hubbard Road both do not have they're not wide enough, they don't have the, you know, the sidewalks or even turn lanes, even to grant the amount of traffic that's going on them right now. I watch traffic on Hubbard a lot, and I once used Columbia a lot when Hubbard didn't have the stoplight. And then once they put the stoplight in at Hubbard, it's been a lot better, but the traffic is way down the road. There's not turn lanes into subdivisions. There's not enough adequacy. There's not enough adequacy of turn lanes that go to Meridian Road. There's enough for two and a half cars to be in a turn lane to go into Meridian on Hubbard. And Columbia is the same way. There's enough for like maybe three cars to turn left to go into Meridian. I don't know, the developer did not mention tonight the infrastructure of the roads, but I know that the last builder said the infrastructure was going to be done on phase four, which is not acceptable. Phase one or two, maybe, or maybe in, like, phase one, let's widen the roads and let the, you know, current people, you know, get used to a little bit more widening roads. We need to get places. But if we can't get places and then you add more houses and then you add the builders there, you add the construction crews on site as well, there's no way that we're going to get to and from work, to and from the grocery store. I mean, Kay doesn't even go through to the grocery store. It's supposed to go through to over to Ridley's, and it never did. But also, there's no sidewalks. So these kids are walking. I mean, obviously, they're not walking in Kay and Hubbard yet, but they will eventually. And there's just no infrastructure at all. We need to get more things done for their roads.
Okay. Very good point. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dean.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay. Rebuttal.
Thank you, Mayor. I will start with the roads. There is, I think it was an 800-page traffic impact study done. ACHD and ITD are not commenting on it until we provide the preliminary plats. But it has been done. It, I believe, is in your packet, and it is recommending really, really major, significant road upgrades to. When I read it, it seemed like every intersection in all of CUNA, but it was on a lot of the roads, to put in turn lanes, to put in extra lanes, to widen roads to five lanes, to make sure there are sidewalks.
All of that does come with this, and I believe parts of it are conditioned on K Road needs to go through within one of the first couple phases. I mean, it's very detailed, and we will definitely be talking about that more with the preliminary plat, but without ACHD or ITD's comments on whether or not they agree or they think something more or something less is appropriate. We don't have a lot to say on that. I did list out some of the requirements in the narrative that we provided that does include turn lanes and initial lanes on all of the roads directly adjacent to this, as well as extending both north, south, over to Linder, up to the one. There's significant road improvements with this development. As far as the senior housing component, the property is already zoned R20. The big ask is to definitely have the assisted living component removed, because that really gets into essentially running a medical, like a medical hospital type organization. And this developer on this development or any of his others, that's just not something that they do, that they have experience doing, that they're comfortable doing, that they really want to get into that sort of business of doing. They would also like the flexibility to not have a senior housing component. However, if that is required, they can comply with the HOPA over 55 community requirements and guidelines. So I think we really are in agreement with much of what the staff has said, and I absolutely can appreciate and understand the school district's position on this, that they also need the school site. CUNA has been growing incredibly rapidly. Tim Eck, though, as you know, has donated multiple school sites to the city, to the school district, and there have been schools built on a couple of them, but not all of them yet. And the concern is, I actually, I believe it was Councilmember Bruce, you asked if there are any examples of specific deed restrictions, things of that nature on school sites. And I don't have that, the specific deed restriction, but we have been, through our office, involved in a situation in Eagle where the school site was to be dedicated to West Ada School District. It grew up all around it. There were thousands of people living in the neighborhood, and West Ada School District simply couldn't, due to their funding and to their other issues, they just couldn't prioritize the school district in that site, and they ended up having the entire neighborhood coming forward saying, can you please amend this to make this a charter school site so that we can get a school here so that our kids have somewhere to go? And I can really appreciate that the legislature has put the school district in a tough situation. But at the same time, it's really important that a school gets built. And the hope is that, no, not all of the kids in this development will go there, but the hope is that this development helps offset the number of kids, that there'll be some kids from outside the development that come, and there'll be a few kids from inside the development that go out. And so hopefully in the end, it's close to, or a lot closer to, a net zero balance on that, which is why we are asking for that flexibility. And with that, I believe I'll stand for any other questions.
Okay, for the question.
The traffic study that you're talking about, when was it completed?
Just recently.
Because I didn't see it.
Oh, maybe it's not in there?
For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning. The TIS would come forward with the preliminary plat, not at this time.
Oh. I pledge. We have one dated September 2023.
Okay, so you do have a...
Okay, further questions? No. Okay, thank you very much. So the question before council is to modify the development agreement or not.
I have one question for Doug.
Go right ahead.
Doug, so currently if we didn't approve the development agreement, they could still turn dirt
on what they've already had annexed, right?
Yeah, for the record, Doug Hansen, Cuto Planning and Zoning, should the development agreement modification not be approved this evening, they could submit a preliminary plat in compliance with the old previously approved site plan as seen on that screen.
So either way, it's not going to, I just want, for the record, it's not going to stop them from turning dirt one way or the other.
For the record, Doug Hansen, Cuto Planning and Zoning, they do have entitlements either way. That is correct.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any further questions. You
guys have any more questions for anyone?
No.
Make a motion that we close evidence presentation and move to deliberation.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. Any further discussion on that motion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Not your typical review.
It's not your typical review.
No.
Yeah. It was done by another council before everybody.
And two mayors ago.
And every city employee in this room, there's two, I think, I figured out that were here when this all went through. So, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Some of us were in the city and working and doing things, but only out of all of us representatives. Two people.
Yeah.
Well, and it's been that long, it's been, you know, lying in the weeds. And I get it, you know, through the way they need for housing and the order they do their projects. So I get it. But it puts us in a rock and a hard spot, for sure.
Well, it's made sense in 2009, for sure, from what I understand. The project makes sense. There's a lot of good to it, but I keep going back to the schools, and you know what our power, what even power we have at this point, because it's already approved, yeah. And short of a moratorium on building or on permitting, I don't know what's possible. Like I said, probably be a question for Mark, but we still. I love that the school district is getting this land donated to them. But what is being done right now for the capacity issues we have right now? I dare anyone to walk into CUNA school district during the middle of the day during a class change and try to make it without getting bumped or ran over two or three times. Mm-hmm. Or CUNA, you know, some of the other schools, CUNA Middle School. It's I know that doesn't have a lot to do with the plan with the development agreement, but in general. There's just how much more we keep stacking on the city.
Should it not be in their planning? I mean, I'm going to say this wrong, but the school district should have been aware of this from 2009 on the radar. But at any point, they could have developed this.
I think it's important based on what you're saying, and maybe I think, I'm sorry, Mark Bybee, city attorney, what you're saying, I think it's important to touch on the existing DA that does have a school site clause. So it was on the school district's radar for the school site clause. It has a clause that is a must dedicate it to the school district. And so it still has the, if I remember right, optional language to go elsewhere, but it uses must language. And so I think that's important as far as if we're going to talk about whether the school district was at the table in 09, the existing DA evidence is they were.
Right.
So.
Thank you. So it's unfortunate. I mean, it's like us planning for future with sewer. We know we can't allocate EDUs in a specific line somewhere because property X over here has been sold a long time ago. And has capacity in that. And unfortunately, it's different because they don't have capacity and can just save capacity based on what's been approved and who's moved in. And I mean, and when this project was approved, the population of CUNA was 10,500. What is it today? 30 plus?
You know. Well, we have a brand new wastewater treatment plant that had basically not enough going into it. So.
Right. So it was approved stuff to help fund that and make it work like it was supposed to. I mean, that's 67% of the population in CUNA that's here now. It wasn't even here when this was approved.
15 years.
Yeah.
Well, so, I mean, on the good of this, the Mason Creek trunk line, the work and the dedication of that is going to be great, obviously. But we still have other snags, I think, that still have to go through approval process for the direct line for the Mason Creek trunk to go to the wastewater treatment plant, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
Well, and oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, no. So I was just going to say is that are we putting the cart before the horse? You know, if we make that before that gets that's done, I guess, before or.
Well, I wouldn't think so because it follows Mason Creek. So that dedication needs to happen for Mason Creek trunk line to happen. So I think that's just another part that you secure. So.
Well, and I look at it as. This is just an update to the modification. He can still bring the project like it is. He already has access to the sewer. He already owns the EDUs. He could, and we'd still have to vote on it one way or the other. We're still going to have to see it, the final plat, right? So that's when we'll see the traffic studies. That's when we'll see a letter from the school district. That's when. So whether we update this or not, we still have another portion of time to where it'll come back before us, and we'll have to say yay, nay, or these are what we want updated. So this handles the trunk line section. I think it gives the school more options for if the public school can't build something, at least there's an option for a charter school. I know that they still have, the way it breaks out is public schools have a hard time turning away students where charter doesn't, but I still see it as, it still has to come back before us, and then we see all of it. I mean, we may look at the traffic study once we see the final plat and say, hey, there. It's so far out that it's not even going to make sense, right, that we deny it there.
Well, so what about the deed restriction that we came up with or we talked about earlier where the schools would have their hand somewhat forced, I guess, that a building would have to go there and a school would have to go there if we put that language into it?
Mark Bybee, city attorney, do I have the floor to speak?
Yes.
All right. So I feel like it's important to talk about what deed restrictions actually do and so how they're created. It'd actually be – so I was thinking about it after your comment, like how would I accomplish that? And I think it'd be something that we'd have to put in the DA, okay, we're going to require that any conveyance have some kind of deed restriction language as to the usage of the property, and so then that would obligate the developer to include deed restriction language. But what that typically does, let's say you put deed restriction, it says shall be used as a public school site. And then it very frequently also has what's called a reversionary language that says if you don't, then it's going to revert to some other purpose or entity or whatever. And the very frequent reversionary language is usually to the owner. You could revert it to somebody else. It could go to the ownership could go back to somebody else. But by putting deed restriction language in there, like what you'd be compelling is that the school district use it for a school site, and if it can't, then it just sits idle and undeveloped, right? And then potentially there's reversionary language at some point. And it doesn't have to have reversionary language. It just is a common thing because the probability of, you know, you put deed restriction that says for this purpose, there is a very real probability that even though you restrict it for that purpose, the purpose never happens, right? And so that's kind of the struggle with that. And so is it a fix to what we're doing here? I guess the only fix is if you have concern that the school district might do something with the site other than a school.
Or lose it to, well, it doesn't seem to me like it'd be the school district would want to pass on this opportunity.
Yeah.
So I just have to, and I think the developer's representative gave an example of what can happen, though, right, too, with donated sites, sometimes it just never comes to fruition.
Right.
And the modification also puts the fire station in a better spot.
For sure.
Well, so that fire station, would this, is this covered under the last bond, or is this would this have to be a new bond?
It'd be something different,
I imagine.
Yeah.
The bond pass.
Well, that or,
for the south side of the tracks.
Mm-hmm. Or they are collecting impact fees. School district doesn't get impact fees.
Right.
So, I mean, I think it, even if we update the development agreement, we'll still see it again. We'll still see all the traffic studies. We have our updated ordinance that says that, that we treat schools like a service, that if schools are at capacity, once we get the letter, it gives us more flexibility of what we can do. I don't think saying no to this stops it one way or the other. I think it's still going to come back to us. So
it does not.
So. I mean, we may see the traffic study, and there may be so much stuff that needs to be done prior that they could do digging that it stalls the project for.
Well, just based on the representatives, yeah. You know, that little blurb that was in there, the intersections, turn lanes and all that. I mean, we know how they do construction in this valley. That'll take a long time, just that. So.
And then, like was mentioned, turn lanes, we need to kind of make sure they can get more than 2.5 cars in there.
Oh, come on. It's fun playing
Frogger. Otherwise, the turn lane becomes a roadblock. Mm-hmm. And that was a good point that I'm glad was brought up.
Do you have anything else?
No. Mayor and Council, if I might, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning. So the two things we do need an answer to, as it's currently written in the proposed development agreement language, there is no age restriction on the R20 housing. So if you approved the development agreement as is, it would just be R20, any type of multifamily. So that's something we want to clarify before you make your vote, whether or not you want to place an age restriction as a component of the R20, or you just want to leave it R20 across the board with no age restriction. And then as far as the CUNA school district language, if you're comfortable with it reading as the school district essentially has the first right of refusal on the property. If they don't accept it, then it would be able to go to a public charter school. So those are just two things we want to make sure are settled before the vote this evening.
Okay.
So I think we do have, we've approved several that had the age restriction. And what I'm afraid of is if we get too many of those, then it doesn't allow for anyone else to be able to live in the, because we're not building apartments. So if we don't leave that open to everyone, I think that might be problematic for, not that any of that's affordable housing either, but I don't know what the definition of affordable housing is anymore. It used to be stuff you could afford, but I don't know that that's what that means now.
Yeah.
So
it's an oxymoron.
It's a shame that Councilman Laraway is not here, because I know he usually has pretty strong feelings about anything above R8.
Well, and like I said, I think we'll still see this again.
Yeah.
It'll come back to us. We'll have all the traffic study. This is not an approval to start turning dirt. This is just saying let's update the development agreement, give the CUNA school district and the fire department their site locations, take care of the trunk line, which we need anyway, and then just look for it to come back. So your thoughts, Mr. Biggs?
No, I kind of like the idea of the 55.
For the record, it was just a little bit more clarification. The 55 plus, as approved in the original development agreement, there were 74 units dedicated to senior housing 55 plus and 144 units dedicated to the assisted living. So for a total of 218 lots. So that age restriction would affect 218 lots of the total 842 units, not lots, I'm sorry.
But they had no interest in the assisted living part.
Right.
Take that out, let's all go 55 plus without assisted living. But then they're telling them what to do. That'd be more of a P&Z issue, I would think.
Yeah,
or an application, that'd be an application thing.
What's your take on the 55? And
I don't think that, and don't think we should say that's what you have to do with that.
Right.
I mean, it sold great in Falcon Crest. There's a golf course there. No offense to anyone that's over 55 or even younger, but that's what they want to do.
And we
there's nothing there for them to mingle around, you know.
And that's what
retired people.
That's what we've done with the area leaving town.
Yeah, on the corners of 55 and up.
So. Yeah, exactly.
And we've essentially denied most high density lately. So, I mean, this has already been annexed, so mm-hmm. we've denied annexations of high density. So
I'd say just leave it as the R20 and then the school thing.
Make sure they have the first right of refusal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Doug, so do you have that?
For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning. Yeah, the DA is current, as development agreement proposed, is currently written. There is no language to restrict the units to 55 plus, and the school district does have the first right of refusal.
Okay. Anything else? Biggs?
It's hard to even think about this without seeing the plats yet, because the build-out, you know, which phases there would be, and you know how the school district would be impacted by each phase and stuff. That's where my thinking was on the 55 plus, because most 55 plus don't have school age children.
Well, and it's been sitting since 09, right? Look at the housing market. We may have adjust this development agreement, and it may be another 5 to 8 years before they bring anything else. So
right, we don't have a schedule yet.
Yeah, I mean,
right.
So do you have anything else? Mm-mm. Yeah. All right. I make a motion that we approve case number 24-01-DA mod. And does it need to say the 0815DA in it?
Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning. The approval of 24-01-DA mod would be fine.
Make a motion that we approve case number 24-01-DA mod.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. Any further discussion on that motion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Nay.
And that motion carries.
Thank you for everybody that showed up to testify. I always enjoy the input. What?
My written agenda is not right. I guess I better go by the one on the screen.
All right. Just pick one and go with it. Oh, you're the boss.
We're on the Fossil Creek. Yeah, now we're on business item.
That's it. All right. That takes us to item 7A, business item. Consideration to approve case number 24-13-TE, Fossil Creek Final Plat number 2. Troy.
Good evening, members of the council and Mr. Mayor. The application for you tonight is just for phase 2 of a previously approved Fossil Creek subdivision. The developer ran into a lot more rock than was anticipated, and it kind of put things in delay for a while. And this is just a simple request for a time extension. And I don't believe they're going to need it the full time, but they are requesting it in order to comply with code. And I'll sit for any questions you have.
Okay. Questions for Troy.
Is this their first extension?
For the record, Troy Buchanan, yes, that is correct. Councilmember Bruce.
And I know they've run into a lot more rock than they thought, because they are beating on that stuff daily. I would hate to live right next door.
Is it ironic it's called Fossil Creek and they're...
they haven't even found a fossil yet. The rock's too hard.
I make a motion that we approve case number 2413-TE.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve case number 2413TE. Any further discussion on that motion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries.
Should be
8A. Well, I'm not seeing
Dash 37.
Yeah. What's that?
Right here. Oops.
Well, I know I am, but I'm not seeing. I thought we had on here. Oh, that's.
Print out?
That's. Never mind. That's in the. That's in the consent agenda.
Seeing ghosts.
I made myself get lost. All right. I've only been doing this 9 years. Give me a break.
All right, thanks.
All right, ordinances. Consideration to approve ordinance 2024-37, an ordinance of the City Council of the City of CUNA making certain findings and enlarging the boundaries of the CUNA Municipal Irrigation System by the inclusion of Ada County Assessor's DB development and declaring water rights a pertinent thereto are pooled for delivery purposes and directing the city clerk to record this ordinance as provided by law, directing the city engineer to provide the notice of this ordinance to the Boise CUNA Irrigation District, the owners, and update the irrigation system map and providing an effective date.
Make a motion that we waive three readings of ordinance 2024-37.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. Any further discussion on that motion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Make a motion that we approve ordinance 2024-37.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded for approval. Any further discussion on that motion? Nathan, would you poll the council?
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
Councilmember Biggs?
Yes.
Council President Bruce?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Item B, consideration to approve ordinance 2024-38, an ordinance of the City Council of the City of CUNA making certain findings and enlarging the boundaries of the CUNA Municipal Irrigation System by the inclusion of Ada County Assessor's DB development and declaring water rights a pertinent thereto are pooled for delivery purposes, directing the city clerk to record this ordinance as provided by law, directing the city engineer to provide notice of this ordinance to the Boise CUNA Irrigation District, the owners, and update the irrigation system map, and providing an effective date.
Make a motion that we waive three readings of ordinance 2024-38.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. Any further discussion on that motion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Make a motion that we approve ordinance 2024-38.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded for approval. Any further discussion on that motion? Nathan, would you poll the council?
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
Councilmember Biggs?
Yes.
Council President Bruce?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Consideration to approve ordinance 2024-39. An ordinance of the City Council of the City of CUNA making certain findings and enlarging the boundaries of the CUNA Municipal Irrigation System by the inclusion of Ada County Assessors, Leet Family Revocable Trust, and declaring water rights appurtenant thereto are pooled for delivery purposes, directing the City Clerk to record this ordinance as provided by law, and directing the city engineer to provide notice of this ordinance to the Boise CUNA Irrigation District, the owners, and update the irrigation system map and providing an effective date.
Make a motion that we waive three readings of ordinance 2024-39.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded for waiving three readings. Is any further discussion on that motion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries.
Make a motion that we approve ordinance 2024-39.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded for approval. Any further discussion on that motion? Nathan, would you poll the council?
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
Councilmember Biggs?
Yes.
Council President Bruce?
Yes.
And that motion carries. And that is all we had on the agenda tonight. We don't need an executive session. First day of early voting was a huge success. There was a line of people here all day long.
Yeah, I made it down to vote, so
it was impressive.
Good to see people doing their civic duty.
The ladies that help take care of the voting there generally get to knit and stuff, and they didn't even get any of that out of the basket today. So it was just good to see, and there were people lined up at the door here before the doors opened. So I'm really happy to see we're going to get a big turnout this year. So other than that, I see the fire chief made an announcement and pictures and the new station and the lot, and now just ready to go through the annexation process. So hopefully we can get that done for you pretty quick and you can get a new station going. I'm sure the guys will be excited about that. You going to have anybody want to stay over here now?
I can see it from my house. So
the training burn looked like it went pretty well.
Oh yeah, they burnt down the old Kuhlman house out there. That was kind of the last of a series of homes out there that went. So I'm assuming that training went good. Meridian came out. Good, good. Awesome.
That was the old llama farm, right?
When Gus Hill had the...
Yeah, he had a few there.
He was in the next house, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was in the new house.
White one. Yeah.
He used to always like driving by.
Yep. Anyway, did anybody else have anything they wanted to bring up?
Patagonia Park. The parks crew did a great job over there. I was in and out of there a couple times looking at their progress, so... It's tough to keep the neighbors happy. They'd work when it was too dusty, and then they'd work when it was too muddy. And hopefully they're not mad that there's now grass there because it looks pretty good. I'm not sure how far till they're actually completely done, but a lot of good guys and gals over there working their tails off and improving the neighborhood for sure.
That's awesome.
And I guess throw a shout out to the Planning and Zoning Department. They get reamed every way, for either from developers or citizens and whatever. And I don't know that we give Doug and Troy and the rest of the staff over there enough credit and for trying to do the right thing and trying to give us the right information and help us with our decisions. So shout out to them guys and gals over there.
Yeah, they do. They take a lot of flack for it. It's almost like people think that it's their project that's coming to us when that's not the case at all. So.
Right.
So yeah,
good people doing their jobs. So.
So Doug, we appreciate you and your staff immensely. Anything else?
No, that's good.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, meeting adjourned. Thank you.